Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we had something that we were, a direction that we were going to take the show in. Decided that probably wasn't going to make very much sense, just given everything that's going on right now. And full disclosure, we were going to talk about which ways, you know, certain Lakers or people with the Lakers could improve right now. But upon considering all of the difficulties and everything that stands in the way of a lot of those improvements, it was a non-starter. Today's show, because I had so much fun, we had so much fun doing it last time, we're just going to talk for 20, 30 minutes, however it is. I have some questions loaded up that I came up with kind of on the spot here. But I don't do much show prep anyway, so this isn't really all that different from usual. You ready for, I think I have 6 questions. Are you ready for these?
Let's do it.
All right. Start with a pretty easy one. What's your ideal vacation?
Ooh,
and if somewhere... you say staycation with a bunch of your video.
No, I love Hawaii. I love Amsterdam. One of those two places.
Yeah. So the pineapple capital of the world is what you're saying?
I love me some pineapple. You know this. That's why I don't like defiling it.
You're killing me. Any activities for those vacations? Like, are you a restaurateur? Do you like to just have cocktails on the beach? Like, what are you looking for there? Are you like a tour buff?
No, food and drink. If it's Hawaii, like, get me sitting in one of the Kulau Mountains, man, just chilling on the beach. Something like so Hawaii would be to just like unplug from the world, you mm-hmm. know? And Amsterdam is a great city to walk around in. I really, really loved doing that this summer. It's the only city I've ever been to that I think is really peaceful. Everybody's, you know, riding around on bikes. It's an interesting city, historically, in that, like, it wasn't forged by war, which is a weird thing to think of, but most major cities around the world were forged by war, and it's had its conflict, but it's more by trade and cooperation, and it's kind of neat to be in a place where kind of the mentality, rather than being really dog-eat-dog, is to cooperate and work together. You know, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on the place, but... I just loved what the Dutch were all about, and that's like one place I would like to live someday. Actually,
it's interesting that you named two places that I believe you've been.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere that you haven't been, you aren't allowed to go back to a place that you've been.
I'd like to Tokyo. Ooh, I'd like to that's a good to one. Visit Tokyo. Dublin. Dublin, Ireland. Those are my top two, and I'd like to and Manila probably. Those are my three that I haven't been to that I'd love to be to. How about you?
Yeah, places that I haven't been. Japan's up there. Sushi and then Japanese whiskey is like just speaks to my soul. I like, and I'm basing this basically off of like watching Bourdain talk about the place.
Sure.
But I kind of like that they let you immerse yourself in your passion, but they also don't really want you to become like addicted to it per se. So chopsticks, for example, right? Sushi is this food that's really easy to take down. And like one of the most Americanized things that we've ever done is to create all you can eat sushi restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
But chopsticks in and of themselves were invented so that I believe I might have this completely wrong, but they were invented basically to ensure that you would to slow down the amount of food that you were taking in, to kind of keep you light on your feet. Don't completely over engorge yourself. And then like we basically brought sushi over here. We're like, oh yeah, just give me all the fish. I don't want to be able to walk after I eat, you know? that kind of regimented approach is to something is something that I think I could probably benefit from. But yeah, like you're talking about Amsterdam and Hawaii, that those are two legit spots too that I think anybody would really enjoy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Let's go to the next question here. You can have a single dinner where you get not just dinner with this person in the history of the NBA, but also a completely honest version of that person. So everything's on the table. You could ask any question. Now, you can't talk to anybody afterward, right? Because we don't want the deepest, darkest secrets of our heroes just out there for everybody. But who are you going to that dinner with?
Kobe. Easily Kobe.
Yeah.
The stories of him, one of the things, I wasn't going to watch the memorial service because I thought it would be too hard.
Yeah.
And it was really hard, but it was also like, I'm glad that I did. Just all of the stories that people have about him and all of the stories after he died of just like, you know, like the, you know, assistant professor at a college, right? Like people that he really impacted, that he didn't go out of his way to be like, hey, look at me. You know, like everybody who had a story about him had like a very deep Kobe really influenced me in my mentality type of connection. Mm-hmm. And you saw that in the people who spoke at the service. So I like Kobe was more about working on his craft than I think any of my idols. And I have a few outside of basketball, but just Kobe's dedication to the craft of basketball and everything that meant, the whole process in terms of being prepared, you know, working hard, trying to improve, being stubborn and true to your ethos. I very much, and that's why he's, you know, always been my Lakers idol, is that I just very much vibe with his way of seeing the world. So it'd be Kobe. How about you?
As I was asking you the question, I kind of like kicked myself. I was like, I thought that's where you were going to go. But I would probably go Chick Hearn.
Yeah.
He's somebody I feel like who was taken from me, not like in that he was taken too soon, right? Because he lived a pretty nice long life or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was so young when he passed away. Sure. That mm-hmm. I, you know, it takes now going back and watching YouTube clips to really just completely re-fall in love with the way he called games.
And that's not the same, right? Like living it in the moment is always like just a different experience.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. Like Sabrina and I recorded a podcast the other day about the three-peat Lakers and like whether they're kind of taken for granted. And for a lot of people our age, that was kind of our introduction to basketball. So like mm-hmm. picture your introduction to anything being one of the best absolute versions of that thing.
Right? I mean, I was a little kid watching Showtime and my dad worked for the TV station that covered him, you know, like in the truck. So I had the same thing. I was like, oh, we're not supposed to go to the finals every year.
Right. Like, right. And so like, I feel like Chick Hearn, Vince Scully, those are two people that LA sports fans, like now that both of those guys are gone, Vince Scully obviously not actually gone in the same way that Chick Hearn is, but gone from our sports life basically. Like we're now realizing like, fuck, we really probably took those guys for granted. Even though like knowing every day that we listen to those guys that they are the greatest. But now that they're actually gone, it's a whole different level of damn, it'd be nice to just hear from those guys again. And in this case, Chick is that to the nth degree.
Chick would have been popular today. Like just transported to today. Like he was funny. He was honest. He was really passionate about the game of basketball and the Lakers. We always talk about players translating from one era to another. Chick Hearn would be the best broadcaster in the NBA right now, and it wouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
Like he described everything. He was exciting. He was descriptive. He was funny.
Also a really good voice.
Yeah, had that great voice. Had that like
golden
throat.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, that was him. That's him. And so, yeah, man, that was Yeah, Chick would be the best announcer in the game today for sure.
And he would be so fucking fun just to eat. Yeah.
A lot of times, like, things can be looked at back in like rose colored glasses, and I try not to do that. I think by and large, almost everything about basketball today is better than it's ever been. Chick Hearn would be the best announcer in the game, though. I promise you that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, we're going to keep doing this. Today's show is brought to you in part by Echelon. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high-quality at-home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone. Busy moms and dads, first responders, or elite athletes, whatever your activity level may be. And with daily, live, and on-demand studio classes right now in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details for this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. My favorite aspect of Chick was just the hardest person on television on the Lakers was Chick. Mm-hmm. Like that, like I, there's nothing more grating to me than watching a telecast where they're homers.
Yeah.
Like there is nothing more like where it's one thing. I kind of understand it. And Chick did it too. Like when something really good happened for the Lakers, he was right there with everybody. Oh, like the hook shot at 12. Good. You know, like mm-hmm. like he was mm-hmm. right there to, and he was the voice that we all had celebrating those moments. But also, if something needed to be said about the Lakers, whether it was their energy some night, whether it was decisions that were made or whatever, like he was going to let it rip. And you know, for anybody who listens to the show, like that's kind of what I try to do too. If I'm going to be, and now I'm going to celebrate the Lakers as much as I am hard on them, but that's kind of that's the number one thing I respect and miss the most about Chick's approach to doing this.
Yeah, he criticism was with love, right? Like he never came from a place of not loving the Lakers. And he had seen so much basketball, so much great basketball, and been able to tell the truth throughout that, not sell out to anybody in the process of that, that his words carried a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So when he made those criticisms, they echoed, you know, like sometimes it would be, you know, hey, you can't throw a pea into the ocean, right? A guy shot 1 for 11 that night. Right. And it's a just one night type thing. But there would be, you know, we'd go on a little losing streak and Chick would start getting on people's asses.
Yeah.
And like that would start to resonate. You'd start to see, you'd even hear, you know, ex-players talk about how, like when Chick would start doing that, you'd start to feel it a little bit.
Right.
So yeah, that was part of his magic, was that his words carried weight because he told the truth.
And like, I don't want to go full like back in my day kind of thing. Like I also kind of feel like Chick would really be useful in present day, because so much of today's media, this isn't just sports, but so much of today is defined by, I'm just going to listen to the people who say the thing I want to hear, right? Like that's political, that's societal, sports-wise too. And Chick was allowed to criticize the Lakers in a way that I wish people would allow people to criticize things in the world that people love that they aren't nowadays. I think at some point we're just going to do a deep dive on Chick Hearn.
Sounds good.
All right, next question here. If you could work in the NBA, which position would you want to hold?
I would love to be the, it's funny, we talk about this. I'd love to be the color guy for the Lakers, yeah. Right? Like if, yeah, if, I mean, you know, like this is strictly talking job, familial, cause that's hard to be away from your family for, half the year, if not more, but yeah, I'd like there's, I mean, I've had exactly one avatar on Twitter my entire time, right? It was just Chick Hearn in the refrigerator. That's the only one I've ever had. And I think that job should be in a professional play-by-play guy's hands, but I would love to have a position like that where I'm able to, you know, speak truth as I see it and love the Lakers the way that I do. And yeah, like I looked up to Chick. Everything that I said about Chick in that last question is what I want to be in the coverage that I provide. So that would be the ultimate goal, I think.
And that's just the Lakers, right? You wouldn't want to do national stuff?
Of course not. No, no.
Yeah. I'd want to be the owner.
Oh, I bet you would.
I'd want, you know, I'm not really a fan of like the owner semantics or whatever, but just being able to, like, if something is going to go wrong, I want to be the person that, like, I want to be the final say. If I fuck up, I fuck up. I'm going to, you know, but I want to be the explanation for that. You know, I want to say, you know, I misjudged this person. I thought this person was really set out for this position. It didn't work out that way. And maybe I didn't also supply the proper environment for that person to succeed. And now I get to go back and I get to figure out why that is.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy that. But that isn't really necessarily a position in the NBA. So I guess GM. I it would still be tough. I think GMs get a raw deal because there's so much beyond their control, you know, especially now and it's going to continue going in this direction where there's so much player empowerment that general managers, like if you want a superstar, like if Rob Pelinka wants Anthony Davis, he has to also employ Rajon Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins, right? If he wants LeBron, he now has to employ, you know, if you wanted LeBron in the past, you had to have J.R. Smith and you had to have Tristan Thompson and you had to, you know, now it's going to be, it was right before the season went on hiatus, Deion Waiters, right? So there's so much that is beyond your control, but I would just, like, I do so much criticizing of GMing that it almost feels fair. That's the fairest pursuit that I should go in.
Right. So we could all get on your ass for right. mistakes. Yeah, that does seem fair.
Yeah. All right. Let's go a completely different direction here. What's the best meal that you can cook right now? You're in charge of a single meal for somebody that you really care about. What are you cooking?
I make some pretty mean eggs a la Mexicana.
Okay.
That's about the extent of it, but it's got some pop to it, some, you know, jalapenos in there and, you know, green onions and cilantro and tomato. I'm not a cook, man. So, that's about the best that I can do. How about you? You can cook. You can cook. All right. And
I'm not Aaron. Yeah. I'm not Aaron. Aaron and even Darius are on a different level.
Yeah, I don't know what they got going on. They got Aaron's hosting the podcast for the Lakers, and he should be the team chef.
He really should.
Yeah.
It was a bummer we moved when we did because I had just figured out how to finally start grilling scallops. You know, putting the proper sear on them and everything like that. And I was cooking up some steak and throwing the scallops on top of it. I'd like to start messing around with sauces and stuff. But in terms of meals I can cook, there's nothing I cook better than that carne asada that I get that you've had.
That's great. It's so good.
Yeah. You know, most of that work is done by somebody else. You know, I tweak the seasoning just a little bit, but a lot of that work. So, you know, that's probably the best thing. But from start to finish, just like seasoning my own steak, throwing it on the grill, having music on in the background, making a cocktail, like putting together the old fashions that I cook. That's about as a that's the highlight of my day when I'm able to do that. It's actually something Jen and I were talking about this yesterday because we moved to this apartment complex, And we've been living in houses for the last 4 or 5 years. So mm-hmm. Over that time, I've been able to have a barbecue at all times, whenever I need it, whenever I want it. I could go out there and I could barbecue. But when you're living in an apartment complex, that's not necessarily the case.
Right, yeah.
So it's been a source of, like, annoyance that I'm not able to go out there and barbecue still.
Sure.
All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we have a few more questions to get to. It kind of dawned on me as we were recording, shit, Pete has told me only 33 different times that he isn't really much of a cook. So, you know what? Like, that's on me. That's on me not knowing the teammate. Like, we've both played basketball. We've all thrown passes to bigs while they were moving and kicked yourself afterwards saying, you got to know your teammate. You got to know that they aren't going to be able to catch, breathe, dribble, and make a layup at the end of it. So that's on my fault.
Well, I should learn. I should learn. That is one of the goals, right?
Honest question. How often do you think, like, percentage-wise, when people say, like, I want to focus on something, I want to learn something or whatever, how often do you think, like, what percentage of people do you think actually follow through on that?
It depends on how motivated they are to do it. Like, if they've got to tell themselves out loud that they want to do that, then they're probably not that motivated, right? Because that's something that, like, when you really want to do something, it kind of burns inside you, right? It's more difficult to not do it when you really have a passion for something than it is to think about that. So I think if you're having to talk yourself into it, probably well less than 50%, right? Like, there's something about it that is not appealing to you, or you would have been doing it by now in most instances.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think as soon as it becomes something that, like, you have to go out of your way to try. Mm-hmm. And convince yourself to try, it probably just isn't going
to
happen.
The key to getting that to stick is to find something that you enjoy about that, right? Like, and to really fall in love with it in some way. But again, like, you can only trick yourself for so long, right? Like, if you want to go work out, you just hate working out. It's something. I'm getting back to that. I tore my calf about a month ago, maybe a little longer than that now. And I'd been on a good groove, right? And like, I tore my freaking calf. So, but now, I'm gonna fall back in love with that. So that's one of my things, right? Like, is getting on the elliptical, getting my steps in, you know, lifting some weights and all that. So I'm gonna get back on that. And see, this is me telling myself out loud that I'm gonna do it. So wish me luck.
I'm just going to start telling people that I want to learn or really focus on stuff that's really easy, right?
Sure.
Like, hey, how are you going to improve yourself? You know what? I'm going to catch up on naps.
Yeah, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to take a nap every day.
I'm improving myself, like, my state of mind. I'm going to really focus on nap time.
Do you nap a lot?
Lately, we haven't had shit else to do. My thing is, so, like, you know this, for raising Avery, Jen's up earlier in the morning.
Right.
And then for work, I'm up later at night. So, like, what this winds up being is that I'm usually done. Well, nowadays it's earlier, but I'm usually done with work on a basketball, like, when the Lakers are playing out here. I was usually getting done with work at about 1:30, sometimes 2 in the morning. And then, like, for us, like, we don't necessarily have the kind of jobs that we just, all right, brains off, we get to go to bed.
Sure.
You know, you got to, like, wind yourself down and you know, come off of the adrenaline rush of trying to be entertaining for the last half hour or whatever. So usually, you know, my like, typical bedtime was about 3:30, sometimes even 4. Then Jen's up at 8:30. Avery's up at, like, 7:30 or 8 on, like, the best of days.
Sure.
So, and then when Jen goes to work, I have to be awake for that first, like, hour or so with Avery. And then I have to, you know, so when Avery goes down for her first nap, I usually am right there with her. I'm usually right there with her. But, you know, That's like on an ideal day when I don't have shit to do. Otherwise, I'm just kind of dragging myself like a zombie, and I get to tell people, yeah, I want to focus on taking naps. That's what I'm going to do.
I like that.
All right. So the next question here that we have is completely different from the direction we were taking the conversation previously. You and I have been in this industry long enough to kind of have a grip on where, you know, what it's like at this point. And I know for both of us, it's probably a fairly stark contrast what it actually is and what we thought it was getting into it. So what was the biggest difference between what we thought it was going to be and what we found out that it actually is right now, or what you have found it to be to this point?
Just that it's a very competitive industry, which I would have certainly guessed before that, but like everybody pretty much everybody that you read and listen to and watch, like it's a very middle class type of job. Like there aren't a lot of people that are just like crushing it in terms of money. And so like people aren't sure.
I mean, not including us, obviously, right? Like,
yeah.
Shouts to Postmates.
Yes, thank you, Postmates. No, like everybody's grinded, man. Everybody's trying to, you know, make a living. It's there's been such a massive shift in the industry that, you know, just people like us existing and being able to, you know, pay some bills with it. That's a new thing that people on both sides that were doing this before and were in more conventional aspects of media that everybody's still adjusting to, I believe. But yeah, like, you know, everybody's hoping for their next job. A lot of people cobble together three or four different outlets to pay the bills. But it's just like a lot of people just trying to hustle to make a living. And it's something that before that, I thought everybody was, I think, a little more secure in their positions than they are.
Yeah. It's really struck me how much security doesn't even seem to be the goal, because everybody seems to know that it isn't really attainable, right? So the goal winds up just being upward mobility, mm-hmm. like continually climbing upward. And do I have time to take on another job? Sure, I'll take another job. I may as well continue to take another job, because fuck, who else? We don't know if we're going to come to a time when I'm not going to be able to people are going to stop offering me those jobs. So you got to keep on taking those things. And yeah, that's a great thing to point out. And it almost makes it, like, honestly, if somebody was to ask, hey, what's your number one thing to, like, if you want to make it in this industry, I would just say, like, understand you're never making it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no such thing as, like, making it.
Yeah, you are. It's a continual process, right? And, like, and it's never static, for sure.
Yeah. All right, last one here. What's the easiest way to get under your skin? What's the easiest way to get you all riled up? Get you annoyed, whether it's like on a range from annoyed to like completely pissed off. What's the easiest way to just kind of poke and prod you?
You MFers at me at every single pineapple pizza related thing on the planet, any tweet in the world, get like, hey, did you see this? Yeah, I assure you, I have been added in that tweet at least a dozen times. So if you think I'm telling y'all what pisses me off and irritates me, but like that's only a slight, like, ah, ha, ha, pineapple on pizza, right? I'm actually telling all you people what really pisses me off in the world. You're fucking out of your mind. No, thank you.
Whew. All right. I'm going to take some people behind the scenes and behind the curtain here. Pete and I, we record this stuff. Obviously, we aren't in the same place. We are recording via, well, today we're recording via FaceTime because my computer fucking sucks. But I can see Pete's face as I'm asking these questions. And I got to get on my question. Easiest way to get, because I think Pete kind of knew where the question was going, and I got to get before I saw the thought bubble above Pete's head. Like, you all, you, everybody who asks us about pineapple stuff, that was incredible. That was, I you know what? Made this entire show worth it.
Glad I can make you happy, Anthony.
I'll tell you guys in a separate show the easiest way to piss Pete off. I'll let you guys know.
One of the ones I'm not on, yeah.
From, I don't know if there is like I guess, actually, a slight return to normalcy was in our Silver Screen and Roll Slack, and somebody made some point about what the Lakers are doing to keep everybody kind of accountable, hold everybody accountable while they were working out. And I said that Rondo made like 1 3-pointer, turned it into a GIF, and just sent in that video playing on loop, right?
Uh-huh.
And like the return to normalcy that was shitting on Rondo just that one time was actually kind of nice.
Oh, Jesus.
But other than that, like the thought of Rondo is the easiest way to get under my skin. And like you said, people add us enough about this to where I'm not going to share something new. People know that about me. I'm not going to share something new there.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. You've made it through round two of questions, Pete.
I have. I actually like these. It's like
I
just tell you no when I don't want to answer it. That's always the tricky part, right? It's like for Anthony's like, Pete, will you answer this question? No, I will not. Okay.
But, or finding an entertaining way to say no.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
No, we're going to keep doing these, especially on Fridays, because everything else has been so tough out there that I kind of want to send people into a weekend with a little bit of levity here. So this is something that we're probably going to continue kind of leaning on a little bit. Maybe at some point we'll switch it and Pete can ask me questions and tweak me with stuff. We'll see. Who knows? But for now, have a great rest of your day, a great rest of your weekend. Stay safe out there. Make somebody else's safely at a safe distance. Make somebody's day and weekend at a safe distance. And we'll talk to you on Monday.